we're in a time period where people are going to have to be adaptable.
Welcome to the Insurance Producers Podcast, where we bring you the top personalized producers, insurance agents, and industry partners, giving you at least three takeaways to 10x your production and build your multi-million dollar revenue books. So sit back, relax, and become inspired by the success stories and strategies of the world's top insurance minds. Let's roll.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Insurance Producers Podcast. Hey, man, I love this industry because, man, I've been following Landry on LinkedIn, and I see his name popping up a lot of places, and I haven't really connected with him, know of each other in some capacity, being in different podcasts and stuff, but like never really connected until last week when we connected. And, you know, obviously I was like, man, Landry, we got to get you on here and have a quick conversation on all the good things you're doing, man, for the industry. And then internally as well. But yeah, man, Landry Fields, what's happening, brother?
What's up, dude? I'm just living the dream over here in my great state of Kentucky, where we got about three bourbons, barrel fulls of bourbon for every single person that lives in the state at this point, and then some beautiful horse country fields and races. So great. I love showing off the state for people that come and visit and so forth like that. But no, happy to connect and excited to jump on today.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, appreciate you being on, man. I want to start with, obviously, Nova Insurance, owner of Nova Insurance. And a lot of people won't know, man, like you're a little bit newer into the insurance space, right? Like you haven't been here for 20 years or anything like that. Like, so I want to talk about that, man. And obviously having success, like really quick success, you came on a really, really, really quick success. I want to talk about that, man. So like, but okay, tell us a little bit about your background first, man. And then we'll go into questions if that works.
For sure. So I had an entrepreneur mindset and was always kind of utilizing that from music and other stuff like that, as far as some pursuits and thinking I was moving to Nashville at one point. But I'm grateful for unanswered prayer that that did not happen, because I'm much more happier being at home with my family, my three kids and wife. But knew I needed to have some change. I had some family in the insurance world and was looking around at different options as far as a career path, and wanted to kind of be able to take, you know, ownership or captain my own ship of sorts. Pretty sure people thought I was going to fall on my face for sure, because what I did, which was not recommended, which was open a scratch agency as of my day one of insurance. So again, I know, not recommended, but was able to get a direct contract with a major carrier that had a scratch agency program, and kind of had to spend, you know, a couple months licensing myself just to apply. Didn't know if I was going to be able to give the opportunity, but I knew it was worth taking that shot. So I was spending a lot of nights studying this or the other. But I knew I had some family to fall back on if I had to, type of scenario, as far as asking questions, this, that, or the other. And what I obviously found out really quickly, and as you are well aware of, there's definitely an openness to sharing and helping each other in the independent insurance agency channels. And so quickly got into some Facebook groups that really helped in a lot of ways, just because, you know, carriers, they can help teach you about the product, but they can't really teach you about running an insurance agency by any means. But from there, you know, started that back in 2019, right before, only less than a year before COVID hit and so forth. But it was a good time for me to kind of really buckle down, a single income earning household. My wife was staying home with the kids at the time, so it was like a make it or break it. There's only one plan A here, no plan B type of idea. But yeah, really kind of came into it from a different mindset. I didn't, you know, not having been in the industry for 20 years, I didn't have a lot of, like, you know, the we've always done it this way type of scenario. And so I'm hyper focused usually on with the way I'm wired, just from a efficiency standpoint and so forth like that, but at least smart enough to realize what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. Fast forward to 2025, I was able to partner, and for about a year and a half was trying to find and figure out a position that I finally realized from the book Rocket Fuel was the integrator role. And so I had a guy that I'd been friends with for 6 years, and we'd always kind of talked about what if it was on the carrier side. And a long story short, he was a recruiter, and so he knows a lot of agencies. So we basically found an agency for him to purchase, rolled it into my agency, and now he does all the things that I'm not good at. And so from a growth standpoint, I was realizing, you know, again, what got us to, you know, approaching the $1 million revenue mark is not what's going to get us to the $2 million, $3 million, $5 million revenue mark. And so really treating it more like a true corporation is what I kind of started doing once I kind of really planted my feet after year five type of thing. So multiple agents, staff members, we do about 50-50 commercial and personal. And I come from a commercial background. So, you know, commercial sales did not intimidate me like it can some, I know, by any means. It was just more of learning the products and stuff like that and so forth like that. So I really love the commercial side of things. And that's what personally I still do some of on more of the middle market side of things at the agency right now. But yeah, growing, excited to be where we have, we're at and what we've achieved in this kind of 6 year short amount of time. And excited to see where we go over the next 5 years. There's gonna be a lot of changes as we'll be talking about today over the next 5 years.
Yeah, man, that's cool, man. A lot of similarities. What's really funny, man, I got three kids. I got into the independent side 2019. I started with a captive agents, captive channel, State Farm. A little bit before you, I started in 2013, 2014 with State Farm, and then 2019 I went independent, scratch agency, just like yours. And while we're doing this, right, like you still got really, really young kids, right? So a lot of people don't understand, like, dude, this agency side is tough and all this stuff. You're building this whole thing, but like, you're also have a family. My wife stayed home the whole time. Like a lot of similarities of like, you know, just kind of grinding through it in some capacity. And everybody thinks, man, you know, owning an insurance agency and entrepreneurship is all roses and everything, man. I don't think they realize, you know, like it, especially insurance. I tell people, I'm like, dude, like what you pay me makes me like $500 a year. Like I need to do like 1,000 of you a year for me to even pay like my own bills. Like, and that's extremely, extremely difficult. So I don't think people realize how hard it is to make money on the insurance side from a producer standpoint and agency standpoint. Like you really have to like first 2-3 years, man, tough. It's extremely tough. So I want to talk about that from a producer standpoint, because you're pretty much when you first started, man, you're a producer, right? So like producer hat, man, like first 2-3 years, man, like what really, wife staying home, you got bills, you got kids, all that stuff, right? Like, what was that like, man?
Yeah. Well, I mean, coming in for, I got into the business because I knew that out of all my circles of influence that this one hadn't been tapped, like the insurance, I didn't really know anybody. Like it was my father-in-law who was in the insurance. So he was my agent. So he didn't even live in this part of where I live in Kentucky. And so I was like, I have a lot of immediate, you know, kind of scenario. And then obviously some people say, don't sell to your friends, this or the other. But when you're in that position, you're going to sell to your friends and family because you have to, which is fine. You know, I was like, okay, so I'm in this, I've got to, what I was in with commercial sales was a lot of contracting. So it was a different world. So there wasn't a true overlap, I would say, at all from my commercial sales career as far as actual clientele and so forth. That necessarily. But I came in just, you know, I'm the kind of guy with everybody's, you know, looking left. I'm like, okay, what's over here to the right? And maybe right is the wrong answer, but I got to know why people, because a lot of times, you know, we get into this mentality of like just kind of following the herd type of scenario, which I'm not, you know, saying that's a wrong thing, but sometimes that what that causes is people to not ask the questions of like, is this still the best way of doing something, or is there a better way? Potentially doing this and so forth. And so I usually take that mentality. And so, you know, did some of the typical stuff and, you know, getting my feet planted in my name, but really jumped into the trying to build a brand on social media. You know, a lot of the realtors do that where obviously they've got a brokerage. And so I have all our agents, if they want to, you know, put yourself out there. It was like, I always say like, do you want to follow Facebook's accounts online, or do you want to follow Tesla's online account, or would you rather follow Elon Musk's online account? Right. Like, and usually people are going to say, I'd rather follow Elon or Mark Zuck or something like that rather than the entity. And so I was like, realize no one's really want to follow Nova Insurance. So I just need to start branding myself in that sense from social media, free attention. And then as another part of that, within about 12 months, launched a podcast, local podcast, because I still think there's a lot of room for that with agencies and agents to start localized podcasts, not talking insurance, of course. But really, we would just have a lot of my commercial prospects. I would just find who am I looking for, or who have I connected with, or might be a new client or good client. Hey, come tell your story of entrepreneurship, business ownership, real estate investing, whatever. Come over and tell your story. I'm going to broadcast that, connect with your accounts. But obviously, then have a lot of material that we could then put out there on social media. But then two, at the same time, there's the idea of reciprocity where they feel like they owe me something. Cause I was kind of like not asking anything in return. but legitimately 80 to 90% of every guest that would come on, has come on my podcast, has become a client, referred a client, or it's just obviously poured gasoline from a notoriety standpoint of people just seeing my face constantly. And, so that's kind of really what kind of helped propel me in a big way as far as a name locally in the state at that point, and then kind of continue to do that with other agents and having their podcast start here within the agency and so forth. So we've used it from a lot of, from the ROI, it's just insane of how cheap it costs us to do it, have your client, potential clientele walk into your front door, and also establish yourself as an expert on the social media side of things. So yeah, it's been a massive for us.
That's awesome. Dude, that's funny is my father-in-law is a State Farm agent. So that's how I got into the industry. And then, you know, 95% of our business comes from a realtor or a mortgage officer. So a lot of similarities from how we started and how we've done some things, which is pretty awesome.
And that's kind of a tried and true method for sure on personal lines. Like it's a little harder, I think, to necessarily deviate, but the commercial one is the one that I thought, and they could still work on the personal lines for sure. In some, depending on how you framed the podcast and stuff like that. But for us, it was more like commercial insurance play and how we framed ours.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Scratch. Okay. So Scratch Agency, man, kind of got rock and rolling. Over time came in, man, honestly, escalated us. Cause we come from a State Farm background, and the way I was taught to do really good in insurance, and we're very heavy personal lines, so a little bit different than yours, but we were told, hey man, three butts in the chair every day, you're going to be successful. Like you said, with three people every day. Well, COVID hit, we're like, well, crap, well, that's not going to work. Like nobody's coming in. And what's really funny, man, we go from sitting with three people to talking to 12 people. We 4X'd our quotes and our presentations. And I was thinking, I'm like, holy crap, like that's the future. Like that's legit the future. Like nobody wants to take time out of their people that I want to work with. Like I want to work with a 35-year-old that has a business, a really successful business, is super busy. Maybe has a really nice house, couple of cars, all that stuff, umbrella policy, wife stays home, maybe like ideal client. Those guys don't have time. I don't have time to go meet with somebody about my insurance on a Wednesday at 12 o'clock. I really don't. Right. So like that literally, man, we just took off when we figured out, dude, we could 4X our business literally just talking to them on Zoom. Like that completely kind of took off. So I want to talk to you about that, man. So like when that happened, and obviously the new wave of like obviously AI and what that's going to do, right? Like, so this thing happened because before 2019, man, like I didn't even know Zoom. Like that Zoom was there, whatever, right? Like, but like right,
that's true.
2020, everyone's like, holy Zoom, like Zoom, 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 Zoom. And now I feel like people are like, well, what is this next thing that's going to completely take this thing off? So talk to me about that trajectory, man. What did this do to you? What COVID do to you from a producer standpoint and an agency owner standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, we had a similar scenario of like 4Xing for sure. Yeah, in many ways, I didn't skip a beat. And maybe you're kind of the same way because you, I think, you started your Scratch agency right before or right around the same time as well.
May 2019, yeah.
Yeah, so I was May 2019 as well, actually. Oh,
crazy.
The way I set it up, because I was single operation, I was like, I could do the job from anywhere type of thing. And so I was already used to going in and out of doing, wherever, sitting in coffee shops if I could. You know, I realized, you know, just sitting behind a desk is not where it's going to get clientele. You got to be out rubbing shoulders with people. And I'm in this town, I know a lot of people in the sense that I can constantly be running into people I know or adjacent type of things. That there was a little hiccup, but then as soon as the restaurants started opening up, I'll be honest, after that started happening again, I had like an office, but again, it didn't behoove me to be there. And so as soon as any, you know, restaurants opened up, I mean, I was literally at a Panera and would treat it like my office and was there from like 8 to 5 for like half a year, practically. And I honestly, I wouldn't even eat because I was still on a touch of tight budget. I wouldn't even eat lunch most of the time there. I'd still go home to eat lunch and then come back and get, you know, more coffee on that subscription. They came out with that subscription coffee model right at that point in time. It was like, sweet. I got all the coffee I want.
$20 a month, man. $8
a month then.
$8 a month.
When they first started, it was like $8 a month. Yeah.
You cost them so much money.
But I would have people right there or somebody, hey, you know, a lot of times people would be willing to meet at Panera or something like that. And so I would do that. So, yeah, I mean, it really just taught me to buckle down. And I'm grateful that for the internal motto at the agency now is born fearless. And really having to adopt that myself, because, you know, fear is what really keeps most people from doing something they either want to do or try, or sometimes their success. And, doesn't mean you don't fail, but just, from that standpoint, I really embrace the idea that I've got to make a difference, and I got to take a shot at some of this stuff and take a gamble, not a gamble, but a calculated risk to like start this agency to really, make a difference in my life and my family's life. And so from that perspective, the Born Fearless models that we're only born with two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. And so every other fear is learned. And so I just had to kind of adopt that. And I'm grateful because starting an agency, especially when you have not been in insurance, like if I knew everything I knew now, I'd probably would have gotten cold feet and pulled that trigger. So I'm glad I have a lot of blind ambition when I did so and jumped in like I did. But it just kind of took off from there. You know, growing agency scratches, you know, there's always different, okay, what's the next hill to climb type of thing between, you know, adding staff members and support staff or agents and then training and then having to figure out processes because you're not, it's easier-ish when you're the only one doing everything, but then you have to figure out how we all work together and so forth. So there's always been kind of new hills to climb in that perspective, but it's becoming, easier and easier for sure.
For sure, man. So I want to really quick talk about, As you're growing your agency from scratch, when was a time for, and a lot of people that are doing this right now, when was the time where you're like, okay, man, I feel good. Like I need to add on people. Make sense? When was that?
I took a different approach, honestly, in that I actually was like, most people would just, and I think that's the traditional, I've been in insurance and so I'm going to go out and start my agency, which is great. So I need support staff. But I started obviously with zero policies and so forth. So I was like, I am just going to try to find agents. And so honestly, I had two agents before I ever even added staff. And then I was like, here, I will be more than willing to play the long game here and offset new business and renewal business for you to also handle your clients as far as their renewals and so forth like that. And we'll get to a point where, we'll offset some of that renewals and bring on staff to handle that type of stuff. But so that's what I did. Honestly, I was just like, let's just keep getting as much premium and pour gasoline on that side of things right now up until, and cause I know I had more capacity and they would continue to have capacity. So we could hopefully get to a point and one of them stuck around, one of them didn't, but then, hey, you've got premium coming in, that's still coming in. And so then that allowed us to kind of hire in our first staff person about 3.5-4 years into it, or 3.5 years into it, as far as the support staff. So we kind of ran that way, and I kind of took an unorthodox method of just hiring agents to continue getting production in the door. That's my first step, actually.
You had no money, man. If you think about it, like you're like, man, like I didn't have any money. So like, where am I going to pay this person? Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of people make those mistakes, and then they kind of get handcuffed in some capacity. Mm-hmm. Now you got to worry about training Susie and like all your time is wasted on stuff that like you really don't want to do. Like we're salespeople, man. Like we love selling. Like that's what we do, like, and I took the completely opposite of you, man. Like, so this is why it's funny because like we've both obviously come to a place where we have succeeded, but like I was like day one, man, I hired two or three people during COVID time. In that COVID year, I think we hired about 10 W-2 employees and another like 20 contractors, like agents, 1099 people. So like we completely took the opposite approach in some capacity, but my goal was a little bit different than yours because I knew I just needed to make it 5 years. Like, and I had
I'm learning for 2 years. I'm actually learning the insurance product itself because I've never been in it. So my, I'm not able to go near as quickly as you all that have been in the industry for a while. So for sure.
Honestly, I don't know, both of those work. It's just what works for you. I took way more stress than I would have. I wish I didn't, because with that, obviously with so many employees, at one point we're at 26, 27 employees, W-2 people that we managed every day. I'm like, there's so much. And that's only within 5 years.
Yeah.
There's so much.
And that's a whole nother conversation from a leadership standpoint of like learning how to be a boss is just honestly, in many ways, as it's like learning how to be a parent. You've never done it. You can try to train for as much and read as much, but until you're in there doing it, that's really where the rubber meets the road there. And so learning how to be a boss is a whole nother thing in entirely of itself that you have to learn about yourself, and you learn more things about what you're not good at, what you are good at, how to, you're going to fail a lot in that position too. So
was terrible at it, bro. I'm still terrible at it. Like I always said it, dude. Like I love people too much. Like I expect so much from them, and they're like, dude, like you can't like not everybody is Cyrus and Landry. Like we're gonna have some C players. We're gonna have some B players when you're building a team. Like you can't expect everybody to be elite. And I'm like, well, why not? Why can't they think like me? Like so, I was a terrible boss. Like I just didn't have the time at the time to be able to spend with them in some capacity. So I hired other leaders around me to say, hey, like you need to spend time with them and learn about their family and their kids and everything. And I was just grinding because I was like, I got to go do certain things, right? So both different ways. But I want to get into this technology and AI and like kind of what you're doing, man. Like obviously you're doing some of these things. So I'm curious on what you're doing so everybody can kind of hear on that side of things and then kind of give us a synopsis of like, man, what's this future going to be looking like for producers and agency owners?
Yeah, I mean, I really think the idea of where we're headed with AI and have some family really, really deep into that space as far as their careers, which has afforded me a lot of insights. But I mean, I truly think within the next 5 years that we're going to become like my agency is going to become more and more of a technology and a marketing company, really. And as far as the tedious just task of moving data, as you know, a lot of insurance is just moving data from one place to another that it has to be. And that a lot of that's going to be able to be offset in many ways. I always use the example of an orchestra where it doesn't mean all the orchestra is going to become robots type of scenario, but it means there are certain parts of it that probably are. And it doesn't mean that's not also an excuse to not know that aspect of things. So, you know, take a cello section or something like that. Like you don't maybe need five cellists anymore, but you need one that's going to one that knows what to do, where the cello fits in with the orchestra, its parameters, what it can and can't do, how to fix it if something's wrong. You need a person in that chair, but to oversee, in essence, maybe an AI bots that are now replacing those. So there's going to be a balance, and where certain things are going to hit before others for sure. And we're never going to lose the people part of it in the sense that we're still there for people on their, you know, a lot of times some of their worst days of their life type of thing. Right. And so they want to have that empathy aspect and someone they can call and trust and know that they can call. They want stuff done immediately as quickly as possible. Yes, we all want that. So we can help make that faster and faster. But from an empathy, meaning having that trust factor from a human to human standpoint, we're never truly going to go away in that sense by any means. But, you know, between a lot of people are asking, you know, where do I even begin half the time? They've kind of been asked so much. I've got a mastermind and scenario for that now that we're kind of pouring into it because from my time perspective, but a lot of times I usually point people to just the existing systems we've already got, meaning ecosystems, meaning usually we're all on Microsoft or Google for the most part. I would say 99.9% of every agency is probably on one of those two systems. And we've all been on the ChatGPT side of things for so long, but the reality is that all these other options have now caught up or are even Gemini actually last week just surpassed ChatGPT in many factors that, and Microsoft uses ChatGPT in the back end that the Copilot side of things and the Gemini side of things are a great place to start for as far as the amount of how easy it is to really just kind of start learning, playing around. It's already in your ecosystem that we are already used to using already. So I'm not as worried about data standpoint and moving it offsite into something like a ChatGPT in that sense. You know, we're already used to those ecosystems, but also at the same time playing around with how you can leverage either Gems and Gemini or custom GPTs and Copilot to kind of speed up the process or analyze documents or compare things or ask, you know, like, I've got this, and especially in commercial, right? Like what are, you know, we, for example, you can build out Google Drives or OneDrives where it's got all these documents and say, hey, here's all our work comp rates from all of our worker comp carriers. What are the rates for this class code or something like that? And boom, it spits it all out. Or I'm struggling with this type of business. What class code I need to put this in? Give me some of these examples or, referencing policy documents or, underwriting guidelines. You know, we're building out a lot of those just data where we used to be more of an intranet focus. Those who were very forward thinking would be, I'm putting in all this in intranet where the person can go and find it. And so I think the easy step is more or less, we'll put it into a drive scenario and then have the AI just go get you the answer for it. That's because it's already baked into our system. And it gets us more and more one things off of my plate from people asking me as, you know, a business owner or a manager of sorts, depending on where people are in their agencies and businesses. So one, it starts alleviating that task or load. But then two, it's also just creating really great ways of creating educational content on learning these things too. I mean, the amount of educational stuff I can put together and put it on Google Classroom or assign it in Canva courses or Notebook LM. If anybody's playing with Notebook LM, that's one of the best kept secrets out there. It's free as far as what Notebook LM can do and so forth like that. So a lot of those places are just such an easy way of really making the agent's time or service staff's time much more efficient before eventually the technology will start to become more and more efficient as well as they start to integrate with each other more because of, you know, the LLMs out there, large language models or this, that, or the other. So that's kind of a high level.
Yeah, no, I love that, man. What would you recommend to like a producer or an agency owner at this point that maybe haven't really tapped into any of it? Like, and like, it's very overwhelming for some people, you know, you spend a lot of time on it. You do a lot of research on it, right? Like, but for people that don't know, which is probably 95% of people, right? Some use ChatGPT for a lot of things, right? Like at a smaller level, but like, what would be your recommendation, man, for some people that are producers, agency owners, and want to simplify their life a little bit, specifically at their job?
Yeah. And that's what I always point to in the mastermind is that, again, to that point, you already have some of these tools in your ecosystems. Just if anything, start playing around with them, figure out what a custom gem or a custom GPT can do. Like these small steps like that, figure out how to connect your drive or OneDrive into either Gemini or Copilot. And even then, a lot of people have either heard of or started to be familiar with Zapier and those automation type of tools you can use like that. The reality is Copilot and Gemini have actually built out those same type of functionalities within those workspace or office space type of ecosystem. So you can now start automating a lot of those things, connecting a lot of those tools, again, internally in those ecosystems that we've already come accustomed to with our email, our storage scenarios, our internal office chat, and so forth like that. So that's where I usually stay because like, hey, that's not a huge deviation or ask, in my opinion, is to just play around with what you've already got there. But let's kind of build upon that. And if you're learning those types of things, it's easier to kind of conceptualize. Cause I will be honest, like when we first started this thing, it was the idea of like, I had to unplug my brain of like, it's no longer, because it was always the idea of like, can we do that? Is this possible? Mm-hmm. That type of thinking. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've had to reprogram my brain to say, no, like, what's not possible type of scenario that we're no longer very limited. And a lot of the limitations that are still there are going to be wiped out within the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. As we move from what's called generative AI to agentic AI. And so if we haven't started with generative AI, which is the idea of you're plugging stuff in and it's giving you an answer back or making some calculations and prompting, I mean, playing around with prompting and, you know, like, if anybody needs a course type of scenario, I can send that to them. But, you know, learning how to kind of prompt the large language models or Gemini or Copilot, learning how to really utilize and get out of it what you can. Those are the best places to start, in my opinion, to really kind of become comfortable.
For people that don't know, what's agentive AI?
So generative AI is the idea, like almost like the idea where the Wizard of Oz, like you're kind of like going to the super brand wizard, but you can't really take it with you and do much with it. You can kind of go and ask it, but agentic is going to be the idea more or less. It can kind of like go outside of the walls, go on the website, scrape this, that data, is no longer necessarily limited to by APIs, or you can give it the keys with what's called an MCP connection, model context protocol, which is kind of like you turn on the keys to give it options for APIs that you've given it permission, and then it can go and figure out which triggers or actions or things it needs to do to accomplish that based upon the different APIs that you've connected to it. And so that's more of an agentic where it's truly making decisions to get to the end result that you've asked it to do outside of just within its world that we've kind of originally thought of as a ChatGPT type of thing.
Yeah, I would imagine in some capacity that would help with some of the connectivity issues in our industry from a technology standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us have used Loom at some point. Have you used Loom? Yeah. I'm assuming. Yeah. A lot of agents use Loom. Yeah. But where we're headed as the next iteration of agentic is going to be a lot of the browser space side of things. And Gemini is going to be launching that soon. ChatGPT just launched Atlas. It's not great but it's the idea that you can start moving the mouse around the screen and doing things on your behalf, almost like a human.
Yeah.
But we're going to move more and more into that's going to become very, really, really good over the next 12 or 24 months. But as we move into that space, I mean, really, I've seen some tests, some other sites and some things that are kind of pushing the boundaries there. But coming back to the Loom side of things, as easy as it is to make a Loom video,
right,
is where we are headed from either asking the AI or training the AI and saying, hey, screen record, I need you to do this, go to this website, go to this, log into this. If you give it the credentials for it, do this, this, and this. It's hearing what you're saying in the recording and watching your mouse move around the screen to do it. And as simple as recording a Loom video, we'll be able to also start, you know, we're no longer going to be limited by APIs and so forth like that anymore, and be able, which has always been the big hurdle that most agencies, if they've pushed into that, they've had to do a very RPA robotic processes automation type of step, you know, if this, then this, and you had to lay out every single step. And if something happened and broke, it couldn't fix itself. Agentic is going to be the idea, but we're no longer limited by that. And it's going to kind of just do that for us and make those decisions and figure it out.
I think personally speaking, man, and this is probably what a lot of people are thinking, they're like, man, like all these things we're doing now, spending all this time to do all this. And then like the next thing is going to come and like, oh shit, all that thing we did was a waste of time and money now. Like, so a lot of people are like, should I just wait for like the agenda? Okay.
That's a valid question. I really is. And cause I have a lot of people constantly asking, which is why, you know, I kind of made that group in the sense that I think right now just learning and playing around, I don't necessarily implement near as much as what people probably think I've implemented yet because of that exact scenario we just laid out, which is, I saw where we're heading, which is the idea of what I just kind of, some of those things I just spoke about. So some of the things I could do right now will only be offset and become a whole lot easier. And so that's why I would say I've only implemented probably 20% of what I really want to do from an AI standpoint, knowing that the other things I could do are really going to get replaced and become much easier type of scenario. I mean, take AI voice AI type of scenarios, right? For a long time, they were still a very robotic processes scenario. If you had an AI voice thing, you still had to do this whole, if they say this, then do this, then do this. And that was a very tedious task, but I realized, no, as we move into agentic, the AI is going to be able to pick up what's happening and you're going to be able to program and have an AI voice type of system that's much more efficient, can figure out those things without me having to program every single one. So I'm not going to go through that right now and do that. So as a prime example, that's becoming much more efficient, much better. And that by next year, I mean, the AI voice type of side of things should be, you know, on a whole nother level that should be super easy to implement for most people.
Yeah. Such as like small things, right? Like some maybe mortgagee changes or maybe like some quoting, maybe going into this place and that, like some of these things that are manually done, or maybe like a VA is doing it or something like that, like agentic AI essentially potentially could help you with a lot of those things. But what's really cool being in our industry, man, is like still, man, like when somebody gets in a car accident, all that stuff's great. Like you're going to be able to implement and make your agency more efficient, and your EBITDA is actually going to help your EBITDA from a producer standpoint. You're going to have a lot more opportunities to go at bat. But like, dude, the thing of like going to Panera and sitting and talking to people to close a deal is still going to be the future of insurance. Like that's probably never going to go away as much as people are going to buy online. Claims happen. They want coverages. They want to talk about, like that will never go away, which is really, really cool for our industry, even with all this AI buzz.
I think, I mean, my vision would be we have more agents, sales type people than we do service, I think is what AI is going to allow us to do, which, you know, it used to be where you had to have multiple service people potentially per agent at some point. And that's going to be that's, I think, the biggest part of where we're going to be shrinking. But the sales side of things is something that AI is never truly going to be able to do. Some of the biggest, brightest minds have even been saying that in some of their books, that it's the sales side of things is one of the biggest ways that if you can do that, you have those skills or develop those skills, you're not going to get replaced in that sense, because people still want to have a human element of trust at some point along the way.
Yeah, and you can't trust a robot. Like, you can ask ChatGPT, hey, I'm a 37-year-old, I have 3 kids, I need maybe life insurance or auto insurance, like, what coverages should I get? Like, it's able to give you, like, hey, you should have an umbrella, you have 3 kids, you have a house, you have a trampoline. Like, it's going to tell you, hey, you should have $250,500 with a $5 million umbrella with the homeowner's insurance, this. But it will probably say, like, yes, and, like, you probably need to go talk to an agent and then say, well, which agent should I talk to? Oh, Jaffrey Insurance in Omaha, Nebraska is the highest rated agency because of Google reviews and all this stuff that we're feeding it right now from an agency standpoint. And it's going to refer you people. I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, how much it's going to enhance us from an agency side of things versus take our jobs away.
I mean, it's definitely going to take, so I don't want to sugarcoat this, it's definitely going to take jobs away, but it's just going to make the EBITDA aspect of things and a lot of fat that we're going to be able to shave off of the cost of running a business. And so in that respect, I mean, people are really going to have to pivot their skill sets. I mean, there's a lot of job reports. So there's a study by McKinsey out there that was just released, which does a lot of study aspect. And, you know, it just recently reported that 57% is what they're showing. 57% of tasks are automatable in most businesses, right? Or as a collective.
Yeah.
And that, again, that doesn't mean that we automate all 57%, but you're also going to need to be able to pivot because there's a lot of skill sets that are going to be automatable that you just need. And that one of the big things it says is that the AI or the requirement to have an AI skill set or understanding of it or how to use it is becoming exceedingly a requirement by most jobs now or will be here in the future. And, you know, obviously we have young kids, so I'm constantly thinking about what are the skill sets they need to be having, utilizing, because a lot of the jobs they are kind of quote unquote preparing for, so to speak, in school are just not going to be there in many ways once they graduate. So, but yeah, if people are just going to, I mean, we're in a time period where people are going to have to be adaptable with their, and learning new skills or pivoting some of their skills in this new world. Cause it's going to be like the internet was, but the reality is I think a lot of people think it's going to be a slower implementation like the internet was, but the true reality is it's not. It's going to happen much faster because we're now fully in a technology-driven universe society. And so it's going to happen much quicker than people anticipate. And that's the part I keep trying to warn about. It's just like, got to get in and at least start learning this stuff. I say a lot right now, we're in the sunset or sunrise period right now. It's not like the sun's at least come up now, but it's not too late at all type of scenario. So 100%, by any means.
100%. And that's why I do, like, I'm a big, I don't know if you're in the stock market or whatnot. Like, I'm pretty heavy into like the Mag 7 and you see, and so I follow them every day. Cause I got a large portfolio of mine is in the Mag 7. So I follow all these companies and they're all like the Teslas, the Amazons, the Metas, obviously the NVIDIAs and all these companies are like every day working on exactly the same thing, right? Like, so if you want to diversify in some capacity, man, with where AI is going and all this stuff, man, like I would encourage a lot of producers to take a look at some of those stocks and, you know, kind of like you said, man, it's already come a long ways in the last 5 years, but I feel like it's not stopping anytime soon because of all the help that they're going to be able to give us and all the companies and all the business owners and, they're going to double their revenue in the next 2 to 3 years, almost guaranteed.
And if you're looking for the opportunity, you're going to find massive amounts of opportunity in this if you're looking for it. I mean, from a producer standpoint, the podcast side of things, and I kind of teach how to do that type of scenario because the load on how to do that between the technology or all I do is sit down for 2 conversations a month with a person and here's the video. The AI does all the work, puts all the transcriptions there, runs B-roll, and then I just have to have like a person assign what day it's going to be published on the different social media platforms, stuff like that, right? It's like the lift there on some of the stuff has already massively been lifted from a complexity standpoint that is no longer there that people can automatically be taken advantage for from a marketing standpoint too. So
100%. Dude, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for the industry. I'm excited for what's about to come. And for people that are not getting into it, man, we encourage you. I'm sure Landry would feel the same way, man. Like, just start, man. Mm-hmm. Get a subscription of freaking ChatGPT. Get the free version of it. Get the Gemini, right? Like, start kind of messing around with it. Because, I mean, if you want to be in this industry, like, you have to get it'd be really, really hard for you to, I would survive in the next 3 to 5 years without figuring some things out from an AI standpoint. So, dude, what's really funny is my kids come home, you know, and we work on math and all these things. And I'm like, it's funny. Like I take some of her homework. Like my daughter's 9. I take her homework and I don't even understand it. I'm like, dude, this is tough. I put it in ChatGPT and it makes it, simplifies it for me. And then I teach her in a way. So part of me, just like you said, man, I'm like, do I really want to figure out like how to teach my kid how to 67 times 67 to figure out with her brain? But we want the brain to be functioning and be all that.
Yeah.
We want them to do that because you can't just rely completely at 6 years old on ChatGPT.
And the learning how to problem solve. And so I think math is still of vital importance at a young age with my kids because I'm like, you're learning how to problem solve and figure out how to look at things from different ways. So will you have a calculator that can, and an AI that can do it for you? Sure. But, you know, we've still got to develop that brain into looking at being able to problem solve that in a way that will still behoove you from the skill sets that'll be out there.
I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous of my kids because I'm like, you guys are going to grow up in like the perfect Like, you could literally be anything you want, man. You have all these resources. Like, we didn't have internet growing up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, we did, but like, you have to really go dive deep, you know, in some capacity to find answers. And dude, like,
podcasts. You couldn't be on the internet when someone was on the phone.
Yeah, I remember that. Mom, get off the phone. I'm playing video games. And one person can only call you. Remember, like, sorry, like, we keep calling, but it's not ringing. Someone's on the phone, and they talk for 2 hours. Dude, wild, wild. I have to tell our kids some of these stories because they're going to definitely laugh about a lot of the things that we had to go through. AOL days, you know? man, crazy. Mindset standpoint, man. 3 kids, business. Last couple questions before we end the podcast, my man. My question to you is, man, I'm a big proponent of this, man. Like, and one of the reasons some of the changes we've made this year is to be truly present, man, because obviously my kids are 9, 6, and 4. From producer agency owners who are listening, man, like, it's really, really important for me to understand that, because in our industry, man, it's really, really easy to go home and take it with you. Every day, phones ringing, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? Like, so, and I see you as one of those kids, man, that like, we're kind of like me, man. Like, I always try to figure out, man, like, for me, kids are number one by a long shot, more than work, wife, all that stuff, God, all that stuff, man. So how do you like prioritize some of those things, man, when you get home and being able to completely be present in such a crazy industry that when we're phones are probably ringing a lot, you know, and it's in your mind, you got email access and all this stuff. Like, how do you deal with some of that stuff?
A couple ways. One, I just finally, you know, accepted and realized the fact that most things that need our attention, the reality is 90%+ of them really can wait till the next day kind of scenario, even if somebody's agitated. No, I really try to basically, I mean, early when I started on the first year or two, there would be a lot of nights, you know, post kids going down to bed, then I would obviously open up the laptop. And there's still seasons of that as we grow, things like that here at the agency. But really try to keep it of just like putting the phone away if I could, when I get home. Weekends, you know, try not to do anything on weekends type of scenario. I mean, I'm very strictly at 5 o'clock because I'm going home type of thing. Like, it's not worth it. And our kids, obviously, they grow up fast. And then another part is really prioritizing experiences. And I think maybe our generation is doing more focus on that sometimes, because, you know, when you think about your childhood and the great memories, there's either, you know, a lot of times it's like the moments with friends and stuff like that. When it comes to your family, it's usually like those trips or the vacation we took till
Christmas,
you know, the beach or the holidays. And so, you know, finding ways I can do more and more of those experiences with my kids kind of scenario as a way we try to focus with our family to go do things. And I mean, it's hard because, you know, those first, man, I never thought, you know, as a scratch agency owner that, I'd ever have, you know, the day of not being able to answer the mainline phone, I thought would never get there. Right. But I was like, I know one day it will. And I remember that day finally coming and I was like, man, that's amazing. But then you're still kind of on for everything else. And I was like, so I remember the first time, honestly, just this, this year where it kind of got to that point a little bit. I could start doing a little more traveling, not having to open my laptop while we're traveling. But, you know, again, brought on another, I realized I wanted to do this with somebody. And that's why I kind of brought in the guy who could play bad cop or the guy with better KPIs than I, and kind of do this together. I realized it'd be a lot more fun probably doing something together than being like, as it's a solo parent of a business. And so I remember this year was the first year I took a vacation scenario, was gone for like 7 or 10 days with a couple different things and just like never picked up the phone or really checked my email at all type of thing. Right. And so that was just an incredible experience, but having those conversations with my wife and I'll be honest, it's a seesaw, meaning the sense of like, you're usually not at a perfect equilibrium. You're usually putting a little more pressure on one side or the other. And so constantly trying to make sure my wife is like saying, hey, you know, you're not being as focused or your mind's drifting or this side or the other. It's not a perfect system, but just realizing that again, you're always going to be putting one pressure in a little bit. And sometimes you have to put a pressure in a little bit more one direction or the other, but making sure you're always kind of figuring that balance and going back and forth to try to stay as much of an equilibrium as you can there. So
love that, man.
Different seasons call for different type pressure for sure.
For sure. I love it, man. Definition of greatness, man. I'm a big, I always want to try to be great as I can in everything, whether it's parenting, whether it's a husband, whether it's work, whether it's a leader, whether it's an entrepreneur, like just do the best you can. That's our model at home, man. Be kind and try hard. Like that's all we want our kids to do. Like, I don't care if they get grades. I don't care, man. Be kind and try hard. Like that's literally our model at the Jaffrey family. The definition of greatness, man. Like, what would be your definition of greatness?
Well, for those, you know, our kids for sure, and from a family standpoint of like treating people with respect and being able to be seen as a person that obviously is trustworthy. But really, from a, I think, a professional standpoint, is really if I'm helping push everyone, and not necessarily push is not the right way. You know, you got that Patton example where he takes a piece of string in the middle of the table and shows how if you keep pushing the piece of string around, it just bunches up. But really, to get the string to go where you want, you have to lead by example. And so never getting too big of a head that I can't be the one leading and doing any facet of any job here at the agency. But at the same time, really pushing, helping pull other people up. You know, it's that model too. It's much easier to pull people up out of to a higher level than it is to kind of push them there, type of thing. And so that success of being seeing everyone else's success and to make more money or have milestones that they hit. I mean, that's the part I live for sure. And I think that only brings more greatness in that sense because it's, again, you're doing it with people and helping elevate people above ourselves is only going to elevate ourselves at the end of the day.
Love that, man. That's a great answer. From a win the day standpoint, man, that's another thing I do every day, man. I got to have a couple things I do every day, man, on the personal side and the business side that I'm like, man, no matter what happens, I lay my head on the pillow, man. I know I won my day if I did this. What would it be for you?
What would it be for me?
Yeah. To win the day, what must happen?
For honestly, these days, for me to win the day, it's just to be home and be present. You know, and that as a business owner, I think that's the biggest challenge a lot of times. It could be, there's always things we can be. I'm like, tell my wife, I'm like, there's always something I can be doing for the office and work. But for me, in my brain, it's just like making sure I can try to be focused. I've won the day if I can be focused at home and I'm not thinking about work and there with my kids. And that's doesn't happen every day for sure. You start to just wander off with your thoughts. But for me, that's where I'm at in my life right now. I've won the day if I've been able to be present.
Love it, man. Any last things, man, for all the producers, agency owners listening to the podcast, anything, any last thing before we take off?
Yeah, by all means, connect with me. I'm always kind of trying to pour into this AI world of things with my mastermind, so I can definitely connect and help give you some resources that would help get that journey started. So find me on Facebook or Instagram, but I know a lot of us are on Facebook than those groups. So I'm obviously, there's only two Landry Fields out there, and you're going to figure out which one's the correct one. The other guy was better at basketball than I was, and I was better at music than he was. So
that's
in that sense. But yeah, connect with me. I'm definitely happy to give you all the resources or kind of help I can in that sense and point you in some directions, because obviously I think that there's going to be a consolidation of insurance agencies, like there will a lot of businesses in this AI push as this happens. So in that, I'd rather help people be in the position to grow and be a part of the consolidation rather than, you know, if we can. So here to help.
That's awesome, man. And he'll be at IndyTech. We both speak on I believe on the 29th. At IndyTech, man. So I'm looking forward to meeting you in person, and he'll be at IndyTech talking about all these things, man, at a bunch of different agencies. So please take a look at what Jason Cass and his team is putting together at IndyTech. I think it's going to be a great event. Dude, that was great. That's not good. It's funny, man. We're going to have a podcast 2 years from now, and we're going to survive. Like, hey, remember 2 years ago in 2025, man, what you talked about? Holy crap. Look where we are. So don't be that agency that look back and be like, crap, I wish I would have listened to them, man. So Landry, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for being on. Okay.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Hang tight 1 second.